Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic show we're going to have for you today here on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with the very wise and venerable Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody. Like good afternoon. There, like that.
Like venerable. That's one of those SAT words. It is. So another great week. I had a chance to go to San Diego and do some activity out there. Sadly, once again, I don't make it up to the station or up to L.A. That's the story of my life. I'll be get as far as Long Beach or wherever and never make it up to the mothership. So my apologies to everybody. Once again, and to you too. I was going to visit with you as well, Cindy. Never had a chance to.
Too busy.
Got
That's
embroiled.
Okay.
Yes, I got embroiled in my work.
Yeah,
but
it happened.
Anywho, well, good. So today I am just so happy to bring on a special guest with us. You know, again, we've brought on a lot of different types of coaches, and here again is an individual who has a very specific and coaching population that she deals with very effectively. I'm very interested in some of the techniques and programs she's developed to apply coaching skills to individuals that have a traumatic past or dealing with trauma issues is the best way to, the non-DSM way to say that. So without further ado, here's Kelly McElreath from Texas. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Welcome, Kelly.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Tell us a little bit about your background and how you apply coaching into dealing with people who have dealt with trauma.
Well, I've been a coach for a long time. I have actually trained other people to be coaches through the International Coaching Federation and just love coaching.
Nice.
And have coach people for a while and have gone through a lot of tragedies myself. And, you know, they say that life won't throw on you more than you can handle. Well, I found that to not be the case. And so I had a couple of tragedies that put me over the edge and just couldn't take it anymore. And long story short, realized that I was fully able to successfully coach any individual out there, but was unable to coach myself. Actually, the thought never even crossed my mind. I guess I thought I had my shit together, and I did not.
So very difficult.
Basically,
difficult to coach yourself is what I hear you saying.
Yes. I mean, it's so much easier, I think, as coaches, you understand, to empathize with others than it is with yourself.
Right. Interesting that you say that. That's very interesting. I think that's very apropos when you're going through something very difficult to forget about yourself, the empathy for what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So Kelly, when you were before you got your coaching certification and training, did you already know that you were going to be in this area in this field? You know, with these types of clients, with these types of issues.
No, I honestly thought I had been through tragedies long before I was even a life coach. And so whenever I became a coach, I really had more interest in just helping women be successful. You know, that was pretty much my goal, was to help women. And then as I went on through my life, my life continued on while I was coaching. I still started having more things happen to me. And then I rebranded myself as a survivor coach after a failed attempt at suicide. So that was really what made me become a survivor coach. Before that had even happened, people had told me that I should call myself that because of the things that I had survived. But when that happened and surviving that, that's when I realized that I really was a survivor coach and I really was surviving, but I wasn't doing anything other than that. I was just surviving day to day. And so I knew one day I was sitting on my floor and was a complete wreck. I was a mess, just, you know, in my floor, looking at myself in the mirror, crying, and was depressed and wanted to kill myself again. But I could not, because I had totally, you know, just caused major damage to my family, my children. And I knew that that was not an option. But there I was with nothing to do. And I had no one to call because, you know, inevitably, if you call the police or a friend or a religious institution, anything like that, you'll be locked up. And
right.
So I needed something to do, something to help me. And I knew in that moment that only I could help myself. And so as a coach, I thought, that's when I realized I have got to coach myself right now, because how many other thousands of people are out there having this very instant, this very moment right,
right
here, but they have nothing to do and they have no hope for themselves because they have no one to call.
Right.
So I wanted to create something for myself where I didn't need to pick up a phone. I had to help me in that, you know, dire hour. And so that's what caused me to totally create the program that I've created for other people.
In that moment, as you were having these thoughts, what was your first, like, course of action? What was the first thing you did? I'm just curious.
Well, I remember like it just happened yesterday. I looked at myself and I thought, you know, this is what depression looks like. This is a face of being depressed and being in that down mode where you think you can't pull yourself out of it. And I knew that the first word that came to my mind was action. I had to do something, but I wasn't sure what it was. And so I thought, okay, if I could just get up from this place and get to the shower, if I could just make those few steps, I'll be okay. Mm. So I went to the shower and I just, you know, got soap on my hands, start rubbing my body, you know, getting soap myself clean. And I watched the bubbles go down the drain. And this thought crossed my mind, what if I could do that to my thoughts? What if I could take shampoo,
scrub
my head, and watch these awful thoughts go down the drain? So I literally physically did that. I took shampoo, scrubbed my head, and imagined that those thoughts were being washed out of my mind and down the drain to forever go away. And I started feeling a little bit better. So I kind of chuckled to myself at how silly it was, but it actually seemed like I felt a little bit better. So when I got out of the shower, I thought, well, I've gotten this far. So if I could put on my makeup and fix my hair and get dressed even. And so it kind of went from there. It just went from baby step till I finally got out the door and said, I'm going to go down the street and get a Coke, come home. And when I came home, my whole mindset had changed and I realized I was onto something.
That's an amazing analogy to watch the shampoo go down the drain. That's really cool. So from that point, did you feel like yourself lifting out of the depression and feeling more purposeful?
Oh, totally. Well, and I think that what was so empowering is the fact that I didn't have to call somebody. I didn't have to, you know, call my best friend for the 18th time. I didn't have to do anything but what I could do for me. And that empowered me to know that I had a driving force within me and that if I have it, you have it. And Bruce
right.
has it, and everyone has it. We just have to find it.
And so that led you to developing programs for people maybe going through the same thing? Were
yes.
you able to find ways to teach that to people or to facilitate that in people's lives?
Yeah, and I think that everything's different. You know, I've had some people say, in response to the story I just told you, I've had people say, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, if it was that simple, people wouldn't be killing themselves every day. But my response to that is, well, I'm still living. You know, that's one person. And I know
right.
I have heard countless other stories from people doing little things or whatever was meaningful for them. And that's what I think is important. I mean, as coaches, I believe that we believe 100% of people know the answers that are correct for them. No,
right.
no one else
right.
can possibly have your own intuition. No one shares that with you. Only you have your own personal intuition that tells you what to do with you and your life. And that's what I help people find, because that washing my thoughts down the drain may work wonderful for me, but may be silly and not work at all for someone else. But there may be somebody out there who, say, is a cutter, and they get a Sharpie and mark all over themselves, and they don't want to kill themselves anymore. It can be the simplest thing, but it's individualized for each person.
Right. And it's really like, how do we get inspired to find it? You know, like what caused that moment for you where you actually, you know, picked yourself up and had that experience? You know, it's like, how do you find that? How do we facilitate as coaches triggering that in others, you know, to find their moment mm-hmm. where they, you know, they, where their mindset has changed, where their psyche changes, they have enough of a change to do something different with their lives.
Definitely. I think a big part of it is being self-aware.
Self-awareness.
Yeah, I like how, you know, what I appreciate is I like how you kind of started, you know, you got your training as a coach. And let's kind of go back a little bit. And I promise we'll go right up to where you left off. But your training, did you go through an ICF approved training program? Or what kind of a coaching training did you go through?
Yeah, I went through a core coaching program in Texas that was through the International Coaching
That's right.
Federation. And
That's right.
then mm-hmm. they have a deeper program, which is something totally different. It's called Mindset for Success, and it takes mm-hmm. you into your past, not okay. to stay there, but just to figure out what right. makes you see things and believe things okay. the way you do currently.
Right, and I just wanted to bring that out because we have had different coaches with different types of portals of entry into coaching, if you know what I mean, some through mm-hmm. ICF and some through other mechanisms. So I did want to underscore that you're kind of a blessed and ordained, shouldn't say that,
yes.
ICF trained person. I don't have to help myself. Anyway, so there's that aspect. And the other aspect that I really like that really resonates with me for me is the fact that you came in as a coach and then you kind of course corrected, or you, I don't want to say course corrected, doesn't mean anything.
Actually,
wrong,
I like
but you,
that.
You know what I mean?
Change
but
your
you course corrected, right, into this new thing. I love that. I love that nimbleness. You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. who you are now as a coach is even better than what you thought of in the beginning when you got your coaching situation. Now, I don't have that luxury. I kind of came in as a executive coach and kind of still stuck in that mud. No, I'm just kidding. I love that, but I just want to share that with you that I thought that was great that you've made that transition. It's so powerful. It's almost like that was a divine thing waiting to happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah. Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure, for sure. Well, can you talk a little bit about some of the, you know, don't give away too much, but some of the elements that are unique to the program that you wrote? Can you share some of those mechanisms, if you will, that have really helped your clients survive trauma and depression?
Well, you know, I'm always looking for new things. I have an ongoing list of things that help me, from things as simple as watching a funny YouTube video to things that are deeper. And so recently, I've discovered something that's just super, super cool. And like I said, I think the biggest step for anyone is to be self-aware and to really take a magnifying glass and put it over yourself and figure out what's really going on. Because a lot of times we don't do that. So I'll give you an example. I'm on an eating plan right now that's called the Whole30, and it really tells you about chewing on your food, enjoying your food, and really doing that, which we usually scarf our food, but that's kind of how we do our life. We don't chew on things. When we find out something bad's happened or it might happen, we go to the worst case scenario that can cause somebody to go to in a downward tailspin. They can go to a major suicidal episode. It can be really, really life threatening. But instead, what we can do is chew on every thought, every event, all of our experiences. So for instance, if something happens or we think, okay, something really bad's going to happen, I found out I could potentially lose my job. Well, instead of imagining the absolute worst, oh my gosh, I could potentially lose my marriage, lose my insurance, what am I going to do? You could stop and think to yourself, okay, is that really going to happen? Is that really a possibility? What is another perspective? And then just by those little bitty things that we can do and add to every thought, every event, every occurrence in our life, that can cause us to not have to endure the downward spiral. And
right.
that's just one thing that is one of the biggest things that I teach people, is to really be self-aware and focus on the good and not necessarily the bad, because there is two options. There's two things that can happen in that situation. You either can lose your job, or you might not. And that's how it is with absolutely everything that happens. It might happen, but it also might not happen.
And even if it does happen, something good may come of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
that's a big one.
Yeah. So a lot of what I'm hearing in your experience and your techniques is, how do you shift your perception? How do you shift your thinking so you don't get into a negative downward spiral? So techniques to shift people.
That's it. I call it a mind redirect. You know, basically that's all you need is to redirect your mind. You know, and so many times when we have something happen, it doesn't have to be tragic, but just we as people sometimes see the worst and we're conditioned to see things that way. But yeah, if you can redirect your mind to, even if you have a negative thought, just redirect it to something else. It's really simple and it sounds simple.
It's
very
simple.
A lot of people will think. And that, you know, it's hard to tell somebody that when they're in the depressed mode or they're in the trauma, because it's hard to get out of that or see anything outside of that. But when you are outside of it, that's when you really want to grab hold of it.
Right. Now, I mean, I can see using this kind of thought process day to day. You know, you get up and you're in a bad mood and you start your day out. You know, how do you turn your day around? But I'm very intrigued by, you know, what have you been successful with your clients in terms of, you know, people who are really stuck in depression in the worst case scenario and are having a hard time seeing any positive. You know, are there some things that work generally, or is it really, like you said, very unique to each person, the answer?
It is very unique to every individual because everybody's at a different level of trauma. They may be years out from their trauma, or there may be, you know, right in it. It's harder to help somebody who is right in it or has just experienced a major loss or something like that.
Right.
There are people, however, that I have contacted me, and they will be on a roll, let's say, of negativity. And I feel, as a coach, in order to be empathetic with them, I have to let them be on that roll for a little bit, you know, let them be sad.
Tell their story.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that, you know, it's impossible for anybody who is like that to suck it up. You just can't. That's just not ever going to work. So what I always do is listen, you know, hear them out and let them wallow in it. Who doesn't deserve that? You know, I mean, that's the least that they could do. Let them have that time. But then after a certain amount of time, if it's going on, say, for several days, by the third day, then I have to change gears. And then I'll say, okay, we've talked about this for 3 days. Let's try something different. And so if they agree, this is just an example of what I will do. I will say, tell me about a time in your past when you were a kid that you had so much fun, that it could be your grandparents' house or a camping trip or whatever. Whatever's the first thing that comes to your mind right now, the absolute best day of your life as a kid, what happened? And it's funny because people will reply with, oh, yeah, it was a camping trip. That's all they'll say. Or, yeah, at my grandparents' house. And I'll say, well, what was the weather like? What were you wearing? What time of year was it? Were there flowers blooming? What were you doing? Give me all the details. And that'll get them going into a memory that they completely forgot they even had, because all they have done for years possibly is focus on all the bad things that's happened in their life.
Right, right.
And as they start telling me and as they start recalling and I start digging deeper, all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're like, what was that thing I was upset about?
Because they've shifted already.
Yeah, and they don't even know it. Because if I were to have said to them in the beginning, we just need to change your mindset, they would be like, you're full of shit. That's not going to work.
So let me, I'm also a licensed therapist. So it's almost interesting how it sounds like some of these techniques sound like they're cognitive behavioral techniques in terms of changing the way you think about something else, look at how you perceive things, those things. And then this last piece almost has that dialectical behavior therapy that we do sometimes with people that have mood dysregulation, right? That's five things you see, five things you smell, five things you hear. Mm-hmm. Only you're doing that in a retrospect. You're not doing it in a here and now to calm down an impulse to cut yourself like we might do with the borderline personality or whatever. But it's kind of, I'm going to ask a question, but you can take the fifth. But now, those are psychological techniques, but yours aren't. They're coaching techniques. So, if you can kind of carve out, you know, even though they have cognitive behavioral gains and they have mood regulation gains, but if you can carve out how that the coaching technique-ish part of that, you know what I mean, does that same therapeutic gain, but through like coaching and not necessarily counseling, if that makes any sense.
Well, it's kind of like what I was mentioned earlier about the mind redirect, is that to me, because I'm not a counselor, that's how I say it, is that it is just learning to redirect your mind. And it's a skill that no one has ever been taught. And to me, I mean, what I think the reason I stand out to people is because we are conditioned as a society that in order to be helped mentally, you need to go to somebody with letters behind their name. And that might not necessarily be true, because I have helped countless people who they don't want somebody who's gone to school to learn these things. They want someone who has walked it and lived it and survived it. They have more hope in knowing that I'm still here talking to you about this kind of thing than anyone else. So that's what I do, is I take my own experience, apply it that way in the little story I just told you, and teach people, because a lot of times that'll have to happen. And where I miss the whole point with the client is if I don't do something with that story at the end. Now they say, well, what was I worried about? But now it's my turn to say, what did you do? How did you get to this place now that you no longer remember what you were so distraught about 30 minutes ago? And teach right. that client what they just did, and now they have a new tool in their toolbox.
Right, and I think that's important too. That's an important distinction here, is the fact that this is almost didactic. You're teaching something to somebody, right? And, mm-hmm. and that's huge. Don't get me wrong. And that's not to say that counselors and therapists don't teach their clients. Of course they do. You know what I mean? But that's just it, because you don't have to have a license to teach somebody. You could be a mentor. You can be an advisor. You can be a consultant. You can be a coach. But you do have letters behind your name. You have,
They're just right? different than yours.
Well, no, but actually some years I think I need more time on the clock to get to really to get some of the stuff you have. So nudge, nudge, wink, wink, but don't, you know, but anyway, wait, you got letters behind your name that I wish I had over here. And
most of the time, the average person doesn't understand what the letters mean anyway.
Yeah, they don't
right. care. Exactly.
They so care. They're working with you because they trust you. There's some sort of trust that you've built up with the person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But anyway, that sounds great that you're able to bring that, because you know what? There are people that will not go to a counselor or a therapist, or they will mm-hmm. not participate in Western medicine typologies, right? And mm-hmm. that's why, you know, coaching is there many times to stand in a gap, right? And in human content service delivery. So, that's awesome. So let me ask you this question that came to mind. Through the years that you've been coaching, you know, sometimes water seeks its own level. Have you found that over the years that there's a certain kind of client with a certain kind of problem more often than not is the one that you end up seeing? Or is it fairly spread out and heterogeneous?
Yeah, it is really spread out. It's been really crazy, because I thought that I would help mainly people with trauma. And I found that people handle trauma so differently that somebody might go through a divorce and that divorce be just as bad as when I lost my child. You know what I mean? So it just depends on the level of trauma for that individual and how they experienced it. So I just love helping people in general, because there's not many people actually that I meet or come across, not just clients, any individual that hasn't experienced trauma. It may be not that big of a trauma to some people, but it is to them. You know, I remember whenever I was diagnosed with cancer, somebody who was also sick apologized to me and said, I can't believe I've complained to you about this because you have cancer. And I thought, And I said, you know, well, what you have, you still have, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I may have stage one cancer and somebody else has stage four. That doesn't really matter. We still have the same disease. So it's all the same. We've all have issues that can be worked on with a coach, and it doesn't matter what kind of coach, it's the techniques, I believe.
Yeah, it's what's going to pull you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And get to the other side of it. I would expect that you would probably work in concert with people who are in therapy, depending on where they're at in the phase of trauma, and depending on what kind of trauma that they are in therapy and maybe are seeking you out as they move through it and past it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times I've worked with psychologists who they are aware that that person is at a place where they can handle my program. And so then they'll refer them to me. A lot of times I'll refer out to psychologists because I know the person isn't ready to go through my program.
Exactly. Exactly. Tell us a little bit about the program in terms of the ideal client and in terms of readiness.
The ideal client is somebody who realizes that they can change, that they can have a different life than just surviving, and they're ready to find out what that is and what that means for them. And they want to change. I mean, the biggest thing is that they want to change. Unfortunately, I guess you can tell I'm not extremely fond of counselors because I've had bad experiences. I know that there are great ones out there, but there are many people that have dealt with trauma and depression that have been let down by counselors. So you get to a place where either you're stuck in counseling, and that's just where you're content because you really don't want to change. I'm not saying that's everybody, but that is a lot of people. That's not going to be my kind of client. My kind of client is basically the kind of client that says, I don't want to be in therapy for the rest of my life. I want there to be an ending to this.
Right.
You know, I want to be able
through.
To stand on my own two feet. Yeah. Yeah. I want to push through this. There's got to be more to life than living every day depressed and can't get over this loss that I've had or this divorce or this whatever it may be, fill in the blank. That's my main client that, you know, that I seek that kind of person.
Yeah, and I think that for me, you have perfectly defined coaching because people don't knock on a coach's door unless they want to change their life and move forward. Mm-hmm. That's been my experience. Mm-hmm. I don't get people asking me to coach them because they want to stand still in their problems and just talk about them.
Right.
They really actually are looking to change and move through them. So I can see like your program being perfect for somebody who has dealt with the hardest parts of the trauma in therapy and now really wants to move through to a better, complete life.
Yes. Yes.
So
most
that's
definitely.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Yes. And because I do totally believe that people need medication. I mean, if it wasn't for me having been on medication when I first got out of the hospital, I can't say with 100% surety I'd still be here. So I do believe that that is important. And I was telling Bruce earlier that I just recently came off all my medication, and I know that that is a possibility for people, but I also know that it is very important. So yes, you said it exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, there certainly is a place for doctors and medication, and some people may never be able to be off medication, and that's what they need in order to deal with whatever they're dealing with, a disorder. I'm not a black and white person when it comes to that too. I think people need what they need to live the best life they can live on a positive note, and if that requires them to be on medication, I'm all for it. So and sometimes people can be weaned off medication, and once they push past something. So good luck to you.
Well, you know,
on that front.
Thank you so much. I believe that, you know, if you do come off medication, or if you do anything, if you stop eating sugar, I mean, no matter what you do, you have to replace it with something. So I think that you have to know what those things are. And like I said earlier, you have to have some kind of bag of tricks, some kind of toolbox, something to reach in if you don't have medication or you don't have XYZ. And I think that's really, really important. Like we were talking about the teaching earlier, is that if you aren't being taught these new things, you're going to need something to replace what was working.
Right. So what do you find are some of your, can you tell us some of your success stories or some of the, skills you use in your coaching practice to get the best results or that do get the best results for your clients?
Well, the program that I did take people through whenever I was teaching people to become coaches is very similar, but it's for anybody. You don't necessarily have to have gone through a lot of trauma. But it is basically dealing with the conditioned side of you, not who you authentically are. So I like to think of that as your disease, your mental illness, your depression, your trauma, your whatever, that person is not who you really are. And once you can distinguish the two, which we spend a lot of time doing, that's when you make progress. Because whenever you have a thought or a suicidal thought or a depressive thought, whatever it may be, when you realize that's that side of you talking, that's the person that experienced the trauma in the worst way. You know, that's the little girl that was sexually abused. That's the person that was on drugs, whatever it may be. It's not really your authentic self talking. That's when you can make the biggest shifts. That's when you can make the different, have the different mindsets, because you realize, okay, wait a minute. The only reason I'm thinking those thoughts is because of my experiences. And this is how I'm dealing with it right now. So that's one of the biggest things I teach, is once you learn that voice, it's easier to quiet that voice.
Now, do you name that voice? Do people give a name to it so that they can actually mentally separate it from them, from the, their true
yes.
self? Okay.
Each person comes up with their own name.
Okay, cool. So that yeah. I'm different than this negative thought person inside of me, right?
Definitely. So, yes, yeah, they yeah. come up with the most creative names. It's funny.
So in other words, what defines you, or what do you allow to define you?
Yes.
In a way. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that's interesting. It's not so much coping that you're teaching, but it sounds like you're teaching resilience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Well, you know what I get, you know, it's interesting. Like, everything you're saying is very intriguing to me, but what I'm hearing from you is, everything I experience, no matter how unpleasant or hard it is, it's not who I am. Mm-hmm. It's just my experience. And so I'm separate from the things that happen to me, and how I process them is understanding that I am separate from what happens to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's what I'm picking up from. You know, I'm just like kind of closing my eyes and really getting into what you're saying. And whether something good happens or something bad happens, it doesn't define you. I'm one of those people that believes your story doesn't define you, you know, because your story mm-hmm. changes every day you live, you know. So yeah. what I'm hearing you say is when we have to go through hardship or trauma, it's not who we are, you know. It's an experience we're having. It's a life cycle. It's a situation, and it's an experience. And so if I change my thinking around that, I can separate myself from it and be my authentic self, which may be more happy, right. joyous, and peaceful than the experience is creating. You know, the thoughts mm-hmm. that the experience is creating. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that's what I'm taking from it, is being able to separate yourself from the experience.
Well, I mean, it, to simplify it, it's just looking at life, at whether it's a good thing or a bad thing that happens, is that it just is. I mean, just because it's dreary out today, it doesn't mean anything. It just is. And tomorrow
right.
it could be the same, or the sun might come up. No matter what, it is going to come back up. And I think that's the difference, because I really don't like the power of positivity, or people saying, well, you just have to have gratitude. You just have to be positive. Because like I said, when you're in that bad place, that is not going to help you out. And
yeah,
my
and sometimes
biggest
that,
thing
that, yeah, the gratitude list doesn't necessarily shift your mood. I mean, the way it's taught.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my thing is, yeah, you can learn that in any self-help book you can pick up on the shelf today. But what I really want to teach people is how to be your own lifeline. You know, how can I throw out my own lifeline for myself and know that I can pull myself out? Because there's going to be times where it's 3:00 in the morning and you have PTSD and you're having flashbacks of something and you want to take your own life, and there is nothing you can do. Literally, your option is to take your life. And I don't want to see anyone ever be that way. And how empowering would it be if everyone in that mindset at that time had that one little tiny sliver of hope? You know what? Maybe there is one thing I can do, and be able to do that, to save their own life. I mean,
right.
to me, that's just miraculous, because we cannot call, who are you going to call at that time in the morning? You need to be able to do something for your own self.
Right, right. Now, let me ask you something. When somebody finds that thing, like you had the visualization of the, you know, the soap going down, the suds going down the drain, that was your thinking. When they find that thing that works, is it something that people use repetitively when they get into high stress situations or when they get very depressed or when circumstances bring them down? Do they go back to that tool and use it over and over?
People do use it over and over, but I try to encourage people to look for, I think the universe presents many different tools all the time. We just don't see them. So I try to say, okay, that's a great tool. Now look for the next one, because that tool may not, I love funny YouTube videos and it helps me tremendously, but sometimes that's not going to work for that particular instance. So it's important to have many different things. It's like if you're on a diet, and you want healthy snacks around, you can't just always have strawberries around. Sometimes going to want something else. So that's kind of how I look at this, the same way.
Mm-hmm. So it's like creating that sort of list of things you can do to bring yourself up and out of something so you don't sink down and deeper.
And it's constant practice because, like I said, I guess it is more teaching, because if somebody, you know, let's say that works for them and they think, okay, I got up right then and I just wrote a poem because I like writing poems and that helped me. Well, then I say, okay, well, what other situation could you use that in? Well, you know, anytime I have car issues, I get in a funk. Well, what if you wrote some poem about cars or car issues or whatever? And then they make it kind of funny. So I just try to constantly work on different ideas that can help somebody in multiple situations. Doesn't have to be when you're at your worst, because you don't want to wait until bottom falls out to do it.
So what can you do? It's sort of like having that laundry list of things that you can go to shift yourself.
Right. And even at the smallest times, I think, you know, even if you just wake up and you know, say it's Monday morning and your mindset is just not as positive as it could be. Well, you can just go ahead right then and start practicing whatever it is you're currently working on,
right,
and get yourself out of that. Don't wait until you're at your worst.
You know, Kelly, you had these Manic Monday. It was the visible and invisible illness. Or was that examples of things that people can get themselves out of? Or, you know, I know it's on your page. So. Yeah, share with us a little bit about this in case people go to your page and see these videos.
I haven't done the Manic Mondays in a while, but it was something I did every Monday for a while I went through my own stuff of, you know, Mondays are not great for everybody anyway, but especially if you deal with depression. And so it is, you know, I talked that particular time about the invisible and the visible illness, because you may see somebody with a disability and you know they have something that's not correct with them, or you know, something's wrong and it's obvious to you. But there's a lot of people that manage, or they work, and so they manage their depression. You think they do, but inside they could be falling apart. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what I tried to point out there is, you know, just because, for instance, you see some people park in a handicapped spot and they don't look handicapped. Just because they don't look handicapped to you does not mean they're not handicapped. So that's what that was all talking about. And it's every Manic Monday is a different, every Manic Monday video is a different idea on how to cope with life just in general. It doesn't have to be somebody that's gone through trauma, just anyone, just all of us, how to deal with the days that aren't so great.
Yeah, and I think that has a very real side of you, you know. And then you had some responses, you know, people like, wow, thanks for sharing this. I'm glad to know that somebody else, you know, endures, you know, the struggle, the struggle or whatever. So I think that is interesting, where you had this kind of coach heal thyself, but also and then bringing that forward into your Facebook presence, and that way people can resonate not only on who you are as a coach, but maybe even some of your, right, that you've kind of been there, done that yourself. And so that's really, I think, you know, I think that's really a cool thing. And that's one thing you can do as a coach, right? I mean, you can talk about that. It's a little bit more awkward as a therapist, right? Or a psychiatrist. Like, yeah, man, I was going to blow my brains out. I went to medical school and I figured it out, you know. But seriously, I just want to, you know, kind of showcase that element too. Yeah.
Well, I think too, like the coaching relationship, coaching client relationship is for me, it's really special and it's really unique. And as it relates to trauma or pushing through something really difficult in life, I mean, partnering with somebody and listening intently to what they have to say and really partnering and believing with them. I mean, you're with them, that they can change and move forward. I think it's very empowering for the client to have somebody who just works through stuff with them. You know, like, this is what's going on with me, and I really want to change. I want to learn some new skills. I want to move forward and to be able to be with them through that process and really believe that it can happen. You know, to me, mm-hmm. it's a very special, unique relationship, unlike any I've ever experienced. It's not like, you know, a relationship with a dear friend or a parent or a spouse or a child. It's a completely a different, unique relationship, the coaching client relationship.
It totally is. You know, to me, when people get to me, even if they are really ready to change, they a lot of times are coming from an extremely broken place. And I try from the very moment, that very first conversation, to see them as not broken at all, but as beautifully broken, and to be this whole person, this whole amazing person who has gone through all these things and they rose on top and they are shining and they're going to help other people and just they're going to rock it. And being able to hold on to that, envision them and hold on to that vision of them until they rise to meet themselves there. And it's right. Such a beautiful process to watch that happen.
And, you know, and people are not always terribly good at self-affirmation and patting themselves on the back. And sometimes when they hear a coach say, I noticed you said this, or I noticed you're doing this, they all of a sudden see it because they're not used to seeing themselves in a positive light. They don't even see their accomplishments and their changes. Sometimes, you know, we're their partner to point it out to them and they go, and they feel so good when they see the change in themselves. Because I think people are so programmed for next, what do I have to accomplish next, that they forget how incredible they already are and what they've accomplished. And just the small
Isn't
changes.
That awesome?
Yeah, I mean, I see it all the time. People just don't give themselves credit for what they've gone through, for what they've endured, for what they've accomplished. I see it all the time in my coaching relationships. And I love being able to point it out to people, you know, like as an observation, and see them, you know, actually their steam fill up. Because I think people are hard on themselves, my opinion.
Oh, we're so hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Really hard on ourselves.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, and when you go through traumatic situations, you know, the expectation that you're supposed to handle it like a soldier, you know, is also there. You know, when I see people, it's like, you know, I'll sometimes listen to them and then I'll repeat back to them and they're shocked. It's like, look what you've been through. You know what I mean? And still coming out on the other side in a positive way. You know, it's hard because they don't always have that lens on themselves. Like you were saying, people are not very self-aware. It's just like, what do I have to do next, you know?
Well, even on this call with you guys today, I'm realizing how much people do need to be taught because they just don't know. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. It's like what you said about having to point those things out to clients. Is that they're learning so many things along the way that they don't even realize what they're learning, and they've learned nothing if you haven't taught them how to use it in the future for themselves.
Right, exactly. Especially like when it comes to like self-regulation or self-appraisal, you know, like some people don't have those skills and desperately need them in order to cope and have less stress, put themselves first, not put everybody. There's so many things that people do that creates a lot of unhappiness and stress and tension day to day in their lives.
Definitely. You know, one huge thing in coaching, as you know, is boundaries. People don't even, they think, oh yeah, I have great boundaries. And you give
they don't even know what they are.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have
They don't
any
even know.
Yeah.
They don't know. And that's one of my favorite things about I teach life coaching, and I love the part on boundaries, because you see, I look out in the class and you see these blank looks on people's faces because they don't, they've never been taught them. They don't even understand what they are. And to start practicing them is very scary. But once you do, you see how, you know, how easy it is to just be authentically honest with somebody, you know what I mean? And just mm-hmm. really, because people will accept it. People understand what truth is. And if you say this is why this, you know what I mean? That they're so rewarded mm-hmm. when they start setting boundaries. It's like huge in their lives.
Well, it all comes back to that. We teach every individual we know how to treat us.
Right.
And that's, you know, a lot of times without boundaries, you've been teaching them exactly how to walk all over you mm-hmm. and that you come second.
Exactly. When people are finally able to see that they matter and everybody else isn't always going to come first, that's huge. That's huge to watch. So, mm-hmm. because people really walk, you know, step into who they really are when they cut themselves in on the deal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little bit at a time. Yeah.
It's so great talking to other coaches because it's just,
I know.
I just love coaching.
I do too. I do too. And you have been fabulous. We're so yeah. honored to have you on. Bruce and I love talking to different coaches too. Like the whole profession is so interesting. And, you know, we spent a lot of time bringing coaches on, and I'm mesmerized by the experience of what different people
exactly.
are doing.
Exactly. And I was talking to listeners. I was in San Diego talking to some listeners. I talked to listeners, travel a good bit. Like, man, I just, you know, people just love the show because, you know, we talk about different facets of coaching, and you think, well, you're going to hit a wall one week, or you're just going to, no, man. I mean, there's always something new. And plus, it looks like you shoot some pool there, Kelly. So I have to have a little pool table challenge.
Yes,
here.
I do.
Shots of her.
That I would love to see.
our coach's pool table. I know that Cindy's going to be in our neck of the woods here, possibly in April. So we'll have to have a little DFW reunion shootout here of coaches.
Shootout.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
In Texas, yeah, that's what you'd call it, right? Yeah,
that's right. That's right, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm dragging my knuckles over here. Yes, right. But that's real good. So, well, good. We got to wrap up here pretty soon. But, man, Kelly, you know, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And, hey, if you would, tell our listeners how they can reach you if they're listening to the podcast. How can you be reached?
You can contact me at thesurvivorcoach@gmail.com, or you can look at my website. I'd love for everybody to go to thesurvivorcoach.com and check out my story, because that'll be a great way for you to, you know, just see my background and what I've gone through and how we can how we relate to each other. And so on my Facebook page, I mean, on my website is also all my social media, which is also The Survivor Coach.
Well, excellent. Yeah, folks. So if you get a chance, stop by her websites, and you can go on our Facebook page at the Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. I have a link to her websites as
yeah,
well.
I just put my through to my yeah. Facebook group.
Yeah, man. And so we
thank
got,
you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Once again for calling in, and man, maybe we'll definitely be in touch and perhaps check in with you here in 6 or so months and see what you're up to then. See if you have some new insights for us.
Yeah. And Kelly, if you have any clients who have had just an incredible breakthrough experience in working with you, please have them contact us too, because we do love to have clients on the show that have really had really wonderful experiences with coaching as well. Our whole point of
awesome.
The show is to educate, not just the coaches,
promote,
but
right.
to let people out there know that the support is out there for them.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you guys both so much.
All right. Have a great day.
Okay.
All
you
right.
too.
And
thanks
folks,
so much.
That's right. Thank you. And folks, you can reach me at the concierge or conciergecoach.net. Our Facebook is at Concierge Coaches Show. And my Twitter's Cameron Coaches. And Cindy, how can our folks reach you?
I can be reached by phone at 714-943-6206 and on my website at wisdomfoods.com. And wishing everybody a great rest of Tuesday.
Have a good one. We'll see you next week here on LA Talk Radio on the Concierge Coaches Show.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.